Welcome to another episode of the Deborah Health Report, where we dive into current health and medical topics to keep the Delaware Valley informed and updated. The conversation continues with cardiologist Dr. Colpreet Barn as we discuss diagnosing, treating, and managing heart failure, as well as how to prevent it. Here's Rasa Kay.
Hi, I'm Rasa Kay. The kids like to say the struggle is real, and that's so true when your heart is struggling to do its job. Heart failure symptoms usually come on gradually over years, and they do make life feel like more of a struggle. But there are excellent interventions to improve the heart's function no matter what the stage of heart failure it is in. Cardiologist Dr. Colpreet Barn is the director of the Heart Failure Program at Deborah and explains how this condition is treated today and offers some empowering tips for feeling better while on the heart failure journey.
So 40 years ago, if you had heart failure, it was a death sentence. Most patients died within 2 years. With the current advancements, with especially medications, we have very powerful medications. Patients are now living with this as a chronic disease, meaning you can live years with these medications.
So you're not curing it. You can't cure it.
In some conditions, you can. Depends on what the reason of the heart failure is. Sometimes you can have a heart attack. But if you come in time and you fix the blockage, the heart muscle will get better over time. Some sort of inflammation we can treat. So not all damage to the heart is permanent. Some of it is temporary, and we can bring these patients back. Even with the medications, I would say with the newer medications, it's not uncommon to put these patients on medications, and then 3 months later, their heart muscle improves or gets even normal in some cases. So we do see these medications work really well. So
that's where we are in 2024.
Yeah. So we need to really, it's very crucial that once you have symptoms and we tie it to heart failure, you definitely need to get on certain medications ASAP, because they can make you live longer, feel better, and if you get lucky, can make your heart muscle stronger.
Amazing. Okay. So, all right, other treatments.
I always give the analogy, it's like chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you have cancer, chemotherapy helps you. This is your chemotherapy.
Because there are all these other conditions, and these are older people generally, so they could have all kinds of things going on. Do you ever find that the treatment for the heart failure is going to conflict with treatment they're getting for something else?
Oh, so we do that. When we prescribe these medications, we make sure that there is no overlap or interference with their other condition. But generally, these medications are very well tolerated. And you can give them with diabetes medications, high blood pressure medications. They're generally very safe.
All right, so they're not like fighting each other?
No, they're very safe medications. That's why I always tell patients that this is chemotherapy and you don't have a lot of side effects. They're very well tolerated.
You start with then medications. What's the next step?
So then usually when you diagnose someone with a heart failure, you'll start them on certain medications and then you give them time. And then usually within 45 days to 60 days, you'll reevaluate them and see how they're doing. And if they're doing better than you, then you're doing good. We'll continue on those medications. But if you continue to get worse, then we go on to the next phase where we start thinking about certain pacemakers, certain mechanical, like procedural interventions to buy you more time. And then, of course, if you keep progressing despite that, then we go on to stage D heart failure, where we start thinking about LVADs and heart transplant.
Can lifestyle changes kind of avoid any of that? Can you just sort of get into a fitness program, change your diet and all, and avoid the medication?
Yeah, so, you know, when you're stage A, before the damage happens, it can help prevent, right?
If you're lucky enough to...
You stop drinking, smoking, and you control your blood pressure.
But, and you're lucky enough to catch it in stage A.
Yeah, once you have permanent damage, exercise oneness, it's a common question patients ask me. Exercise will not improve your heart, but it can condition your heart. With that same weak heart muscle, you can do more. So we always recommend exercise and a good plan to all. We just don't recommend competitive exercise. But we do recommend exercise at all stages of heart failure if to prevent it beforehand. But if you once you have it, it does improve your endurance and your quality of life.
All right, so other lifestyle changes or habits that you would want set in place when you get a new patient?
Yeah, so, you know, of course, stop smoking. We recommend no heavy alcohol use because alcohol is toxic to your heart muscle. Also, like if they're obesity, we would recommend an exercise regimen. And of course, now we have new medications for weight loss. I'm sure you guys are all watching online, and we'll refer them to their primary doctor to see if they qualify for those medications, because weight loss also helps. Once again, it doesn't improve your heart muscle, it improves your quality of life. You're able to walk further, feel better. So it is part of the treatment plan. So those are the kind of lifestyle modifications. And of course, if you have high cholesterol, treat that with diet as well as medications.
The weight loss medications, I'm seeing so many studies to see what else they could improve. What are your thoughts on these injectables and heart failure?
So we actually recently had a study come out with the stiffening of the heart failure preserved ejection fraction, where they looked at these medications in addition to regular treatment and weight loss, and there's an improvement. So I think this is going to be the new horizon in heart failure. We're going to be testing these medications, but we're starting to get some initial data where we're finding out that combining weight loss with heart failure treatment, it can have an additional benefit to certain heart failure patient population.
It seems to me a more extreme weight loss option than just going on your Mediterranean diet and...
I think what I've seen common practice is that it's very, you know, it's easier said than done. Patients who have significant weight, you know, it is hard to lose that initial weight. What I've seen with these medications, it helps them get started. You know, you lose 10 to 15% of your body weight. Let's say you weigh 270 or 300, you lose about 30, 40 pounds of the medications, then they have the energy to walk and add. So I think it's a great complementary treatment plan. So I think the treatment for overweight is not just giving them a lecture on diet. I think this helps them jumpstart their journey. You lose about 20, 30 pounds, then now you can breathe better, you can walk further, then you can lose more weight. So I think it adds to their, so of course you have to do all the things you've been doing, but it helps you jumpstart your journey. And these medications work. We're seeing in studies, you know, 10 to 15%, some are showing 20% weight loss, which sounds like nothing, but it's when you lose 30, 40 pounds with heart failure, you breathe better and you have more energy and you can walk and do more, which improves the quality of life. From a science standpoint, these medications work, absolutely. They've been tested now, and they're showing significant weight loss, and it's not just a fluke, it is working.
Do you prescribe cardiac rehab for patients who have not had like a cardiac event, just so that they can get in shape? So how does cardiac rehab work for heart failure?
So usually it's a 1 hour session, about 36 sessions. So patients can do either 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week. We offer this program at Deborah as well. And generally speaking, so if you do about three sessions, it's about 12 weeks. If you do two sessions, it's a bit longer. And it's a great program. I've almost never had a patient come back and not like it. It's a great way to get back on track, and it does improve their functional capabilities and their quality of life.
Well, it's a very holistic program too. So what would the experience be for a heart failure patient in a cardiac rehab program for that?
Well, so it's cardiac rehab is specifically for cardiac patients. So the physical therapists there know that these patients have cardiac problems. So their exercise routines and protocols are geared towards patients with heart failure. So they do certain exercises and different techniques, which helps these patients improve their functional status, means they can walk further, and their breathing and shortness of breath gets better. So yes, we do use targeted cardiac rehab for these patients.
Got to ask about COVID. There is research out of Japan at the end of the year that links the ACE2 receptors that are within the heart that COVID, that coronavirus hangs on to. So these researchers predicted, with COVID hanging around and becoming something that we're dealing with, that there could be a pandemic of heart failure because of COVID over the years. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in medicine, we see this all the time. You see, in medicine, we are, as scientists, we always try to figure out the mechanism of why a disease happens, right? So we do a lot of animal studies and studies, but that doesn't always mean that mechanism will be confirmed clinically in a population level. So I think this is interesting. I think this is something we should keep an eye on. But I don't think so far, we're year four into COVID, that I'm seeing a huge uptick and heart failure, which is good news.
Right.
So I think this is something I think we need more data to confirm. It's interesting. I think it's something that we should be on the lookout for. But generally speaking, in medicine, sometimes diseases don't have a predominant one mechanism, even though in animal studies it may show that. But at a population health level, this mechanism may not dominate and cause heart failure. So I think we will have to just look to see if there is increased incidence, and there will be other things I'm sure we have to look as well. So I think at this point I would read this and wait for more studies to confirm this.
If you are living with managing heart failure, are you more prone to other infections, respiratory, all of that? I mean, should you mask more in a crowd?
We do know that a flu in a 21-year-old is better tolerated than flu in a 65-year-old with heart failure. So yes, as you get older, just even if you're healthy, your immune system goes down. And of course, if you have comorbidities, we saw that with COVID, right? In COVID, vast majority of the deaths were patients who were elderly with comorbidities, or even younger, it was younger with comorbidities. So yes, absolutely, if you have heart failure, you are more prone to get severe illness from flu and COVID and other common viral illnesses. So we do recommend vaccinations, and that's what we recommend in our clinic. So whatever you qualify for your age and sex, you should get those vaccinations, because prevention is still better than cure.
Okay, so the advanced therapies then, this is when everything else isn't working. So what are those advanced therapies, and what are the variations in them?
Yeah, so advanced therapies is usually when you fail things like pacemakers and certain valvular intervention, we get into end-stage heart failure. The two therapies are heart transplantation and left ventricular assist devices. Heart transplantation is very rare. Even despite all the advances, we're still only doing about 3,500 heart transplants when there's like a need of 30,000 patients. So it's never going to fill that need. So that's where the left ventricular assist devices have become more mainstream over the last 10 years. And especially in the last 5 years, we have third generation, better version of the pumps.
Because they used to be the bridge to a heart transplant, but
yes.
Now...
Well, yeah, exactly. So the newest pumps, the third generation pumps we're learning are, there's still trial studies we're waiting for, but there's initial data coming out that the pumps, the patients who get these LVADs, as far as survival, there may not be a whole lot difference with these pumps versus heart transplant, which opens us up to a whole new paradigm of how we manage these patients. Transplant is no longer the holy grail. Yes, in some patients, we will offer transplantation, but with these LVADs, as the technology evolves, this can become the solution for a vast majority of the patients who have end-stage heart failure.
What else are you keeping your eye on? What's got you jazzed as being, you know, in the pipeline, or that we're looking at testing, developing?
I think the biggest thing is, from an end-stage heart failure standpoint, is the evolution of the technology of the LVADs. The pump itself has become good, but the externals are still there. I think that's what we're excited about. There's some new technology coming down the pike. There's also talks of the pump being completely internalized. So I think that's very exciting from a scientific standpoint and from a patient standpoint, because it improves their quality of life and satisfaction.
Meaning a pump as an implantable?
Well, the LVAD right now is implantable, but they have to live with certain externals.
Right.
Because a pump cannot be charged. You need some external batteries, and when you have end-stage heart failure, sounds like nothing, but it does add some morbidity to the patients, right? You have to live with equipment and things like that. It's like dialysis, right?
Right.
It keeps you going, but you have to accept going to a center 3 times a week for 5 hours, and you have to live with, you know, fistulas. A similar concept. So I think as those externals, as the battery technology gets better, that equipment gets smaller, easier to carry, it'll improve patients' quality of life.
Anything in the pharmaceutical end?
There are new drugs being developed all the time. I think right now we have 4 very good classes of medications. There are new drugs being we're excited about. There are targeted drugs coming, so we're excited about that as well. So I think there's a lot of, we've improved quite a bit. The survival for heart failure has improved, but we still have long ways to go. But yeah, there will be pharmaceutical improvements, device improvements, and of course, smaller devices. Maybe don't wait till last stage, maybe stage C. We can add a smaller device in addition to the medication. So all kinds of things are being tested, but it's too early to speculate. But in the coming 5 years, I'm sure there'll be a lot more technology. It's just like last 10 years. You know, 15 years ago, if you had a heart failure, you managed totally different than how we manage it now. And I'm sure within the next 10 years, we'll be somewhere else. So we're improving every decade.
That's cardiologist Dr. Kulpreet Barn, the director of the Heart Failure Program at Debora. Join us next month for more health news you can use. Our podcast drops, as always, the first Wednesday of the month. I'm Rasa Kay.
You can always listen to all of the informative Debora Doctor interviews at DeboraHealthReport.com. Schedule an appointment at DemandDebora.org.